Good afternoon, and welcome to Aramis Communications Internet Radio. This is Martha Ann Zerba
and Emily Osman
from the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. Today is May 8th, 2020, and after the Divine Mercy Chaplet that's prayed every day at the 3 o'clock hour, we will speak about the Gospel today, which is from John, where Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, on this hour of grace, where mercy triumphed over justice, let us immerse ourselves completely in the Lord's mercy, adoring, glorifying, invoking its omnipotence for the whole world, and particularly for those who are sick and suffering, and all who are affected by the coronavirus, by praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement
for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Since we're going to talk about the gospel for today, I'm going to read it first. It's from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many places to live in. Otherwise, I would have told you. I am going now to prepare a place for you. And after I have gone and prepared you a place, I shall return to take you to myself, so that you may be with me where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and life. No one can come to the Father except through me.
Now let's talk about what the Dominicans from the province of St. Joseph have to say about this. It's entitled Limping Along the Way of Truth. We tend to race through life. Our society is fast-paced, speeding from idea to idea, fad to fad. Even in our Christian lives, we often like to hurry. We love St. Paul's image of running the race, of being an athlete of Christ, which is in 2 Timothy, if you're interested in looking that up. It's an image that speaks to our high-velocity lifestyles. But speed can beget impatience. Impatience with others who are slower than we, who don't measure up to our flurry of expectations. And impatience with ourselves, when we don't turn out to be such pro athletes of Christ. Invariably, we stumble. Other times it seems like we are just limping along. But limping is better than remaining stagnant, don't you agree?
Yeah.
If one is limping towards Christ, he is still moving along the way to the fullness of truth and love. As St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, well, Emily, why don't you tell us about what he wrote?
Augustine says, it is better to limp along the way than to walk briskly off the way. For one who limps along the way, even though he makes just a little progress, is approaching his destination. But if one walks off the way, the faster he goes, the further he gets from his destination.
Yeah, I agree very much. So our progress in Christian life may seem slow, sometimes pitifully slow, but limping on the way is far better than racing towards destruction. Our direction matters more than our speed. Boy, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's better to limp.
Yeah, so to limp along the way is better than to race off of it, because our way is Christ, as St. Thomas points out. If then, he says, you are looking for the way by which you should go, take Christ, because he himself is the way. As Christ himself told his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's from John 14. Christ is the way that leads to the fullness of truth and abundant life with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Limp along that way, and limp though you may, you are limping the good way, the all right way. What do you think, Emily?
Yeah, I think so. And I think in the next paragraph he will talk about Jacob.
Yeah.
So would you...
Sure. It is good for us to recognize that often we only limp. Having wrestled with God during the night, the patriarch Jacob limped along afterwards. That's in the book of Genesis. The cunning and bold Jacob, the great athlete who strove with the Lord, received a wound that caused him to limp for the rest of his life. With that crippling injury, however, Jacob understood his weakness and dependence on God. He no longer relied on his own strength of mind and body. The Lord had made him his own possession. Although Jacob limped for the rest of his days, his feet were set on the way of the Lord, the way of truth and life. When we are strong and successful, the fact of our total dependence on God can easily slip our minds. But when, like Jacob, we limp, when we come up against our brokenness, our sinfulness, our bad habits, our disappointments, then we are faced with our absolute need for God. Wow, that was worded really well. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and it's very apt for what we're experiencing today.
Right now, yes, it is. And God provides for that need. All we need to do is pray and fast, and He comes to us. And His mother wraps her mantle around us, and somehow it all seems all is well. If we share Jacob's weaknesses, how much more do we share in the gift of God's grace? How much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? His grace is the crutch that allows us to still limp along the way of truth. How about that, Emily?
Yeah. And if we continue to limp now, then we will one day run with the freedom and strength of the children of God. Even in our weakness now, God is preparing us for that everlasting day of abundant life. For as the Lord told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness."
I must say, Emily, right there, if you don't mind me interrupting, that is my favorite quote in the entire Bible. We don't realize our weakness is what helps us to hang on to God every moment of the day.
Yeah, and you, maybe I can mention this.
Sure.
Do you listen to Father Lewis's Make Space for
Grace?
I sure do. Yes. Yeah.
Because His grace overflows in our weakness to carry out weary limbs and tired hearts to His own loving heart, wherein is found all the truth, the love, and the life that we all so desire. Having limped along the way that is Jesus Christ, we crippled pilgrims can hope to shine and dart about as sparks through stubble. And that comes from the Book of Wisdom. So praise the Lord, whose grace allows us to limp along His way of the truth. Amen.
Great.
So how about now if we hear what Father Ryan has to say, who wants to tell us about how Jesus is the way and how He is the truth and the life. So go ahead, Emily. Let's talk about this now.
Okay. Our Savior tells St. Thomas the Apostle, "I am the way and the truth and the life," from the Gospel reading that we just read. But we might ponder in what sense the Lord is each of these three. Is Christ the way in the same sense that He is the truth and the life? What is it about the Lord that makes Him to be the way, and what makes Him to be the truth and the life? The greatest Catholic biblical scholar and theologian, St. Thomas Aquinas, plumbs the depths of this mystery as he comments on this verse from St. John's Gospel. As we consider our Savior's words under the guidance of the angelic doctor, we will find who our Lord wants to be for us and who we are called to be in Him. Can you expound on what St. Augustine?
Sure. Well, first thing he says is Jesus is not the way as God. Wow, that's something to think about, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would be misleading and would probably draw us into heresy to claim that Jesus is the way in His divinity. As God, the Son is not the way to the eternal Father, for the Son is in the Father and the Father is in the Son. Moreover, Though it is true that there is an order in the Most Holy Trinity, the Son proceeding from the Father, yet we must be very cautious when we try to draw conclusions about the relation which men have to the eternal life of the triune God. If the Son is truly and fully God, then he cannot be subordinated to the Father in his divinity. If the Son is divine, then he is himself man's happiness and is not merely a medium through which men come to the Father. Wow, that's pretty deep, but it certainly does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, so go ahead, Emily. Why don't you finish on that?
So no, indeed, Jesus is not the way according to his divinity, at least. It would be misleading to speak of him as the way to the Father in his divinity. Rather, our Savior is the way in his human nature. He is the way as man, not as God. In his humanity, Christ our Lord is the way through which all men are to come to God. The human nature of Christ is the medium through which all men may attain to communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not merely with the person of the Father, but with the whole God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Wow, that really makes you feel good to understand this better. Don't you agree?
Yes.
So how essential is the humanity of Jesus to our salvation? Though his humanity is not our salvation in and of itself, it is nevertheless the instrument of our salvation. Through it, we come into a real and living communion with God. The humanity of Christ is what the angel of the schools, for example, St. Thomas Aquinas, has called the united instrument of our salvation, meaning that Jesus' humanity is united to the divinity in the person of the Word, and through this union serves as the instrument of the salvation of all men. The instrumental role of the humanity of Christ leads us to say that he is the way, in his human nature, that is. Though we might not want to claim that he is the way from his human nature, since it is from the union which his nature has with the divinity and not from the human per se. That's really getting a little bit deep, but I believe that it certainly does help us to understand that God was human and we learned from him the way. And from there we move to the truth and the life.
Yeah, and St. Paul teaches the same thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, he does.
Yeah, St. Paul teaches likewise, stating a new and living way which he hath dedicated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That's from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20.
Christ is a living way. Yeah, he sure
is. In his
human
flesh and by his human blood. In his humanity, the Savior is our way to God.
Yeah, Jesus is the truth and the life as God. But the Lord does not merely tell us, I am the way. He adds further, and the truth and the life. So Jesus isn't just the way, but he's also the truth and the life. The Savior is not only our way to salvation, but he is that salvation. However, in his humanity, Christ is not our salvation, for human nature cannot be the end towards which all come, since human nature cannot be infinite goodness. Nevertheless, he who is perfect man is also perfect God in his divinity. He is the truth and the life. As man, Christ is our way. As God, he is our destination and our goal, which is truth and life. Moreover, St. Thomas Aquinas shows that it is particularly fitting to identify the Word as the truth and the life, though, of course, the whole Trinity is the truth and the life of men. Wow. How would you think, Emily?
Okay, to explain the words of St. Thomas Aquinas, note that both truth and life belong properly and essentially per se to Christ. Truth belongs essentially to him because he is the Word. Now truth is the conformity of a thing to the intellect, and this results when the intellect conceives the thing as it is. Therefore, the truth of our intellect belongs to our Word.
Yeah, wow.
Which is its conception.
Yes, it is.
Yet although our Word is true, it is not truth itself, since it is not true of itself, but because it is conformed to the thing conceived. And so, the truth of the divine intellect belongs to the Word of God, which is Jesus.
Yes, it is.
But because the Word of God is true of itself, since it is not measured by things, but things are true in the measure that they are similar to the Word of God is truth itself. And because no one can know the truth unless he adheres to the truth, it is necessary that anyone who desires to know the truth adhere to this word. Now, how about life?
Well, they say life also belongs to Christ, for everything which has some activity from itself is said to be living, while non-living things do not have motion for themselves. Among the activities of life, the chief are the intellectual activities. Thus, the intellect itself is said to be living, and its activities are a certain kind of life. Now, in God, the activities of understanding and the intellect itself are the same. Thus, it is clear that the Son, who is the Word of the intellect of the Father, is his own life. This is the reason why Christ referred to himself as the way, united to its destination, because he is the destination, containing in himself whatever can be desired, that is, existing truth and life. By the way, this comes from Pope John the 14th. So Jesus is the way and the truth and the life for you. So again, the words of St. Thomas Aquinas, as he follows the opinion of St. Augustine, which he says, St. Augustine, if then you ask which way to go, accept Christ, for he is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. And that came from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And Augustine says, walk like this human being and you will come to God. It is better to limp along on the way than to walk briskly off the way. For one who limps on the way, even though he makes just a little progress, well, he's approaching his destination. But if one walks off the way, the faster he goes, the further he gets from his destination. So why hurry? Let's just limp with everybody else trying to get to Christ. Because as humans, sure, we fall. Sure, we go the wrong way once in a while. And that's why, Emily, I thank God for confession.
Yeah, me too.
So if you ask where to go, cling to Christ, for he is the truth which we desire to reach. My mouth will utter truth. That's from Proverbs. If you ask where to remain, remain in Christ, because he is the life. He who finds me finds life and shall find salvation and have salvation from the Lord. That again is from Proverbs. Therefore, cling to Christ if you wish to be secure, for you cannot get off the road because he is the way. And so those who hold on to him are not walking off the road, but on the right road. For once again, from Proverbs, it says, I have taught you the way of wisdom. Wisdom is such a beautiful gift. Don't you agree?
Yes.
I pray for that every day, to understand where to go and what to do. And sometimes that can be quite difficult as a human. But getting back to what Father Ryan says, but some are just the opposite, and they did not find the way of truth to dwell in, and that comes from Psalms. We learn so much from the Bible, don't we?
Yes.
So let's go
especially
to
the Psalms,
yes. Augustine says that when our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was saying, in effect, how do you want to go? Because I am the way. Where do you want to go? For I am the truth. And where do you want to remain? For I am the life. And once again, this comes from a commentary from John the 14th. Okay, well, We learned a lot today, didn't we?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, maybe there's a prayer to Saint Corona, who's the patron saint for all pandemics, and that would be nice to pray together with all those listening, huh?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Oh, Saint Corona, who fearlessly gave your life to bring comfort to the suffering, we beg your intercession during this pandemic. By your holy martyrdom, you gave us an example to follow, that we may lay down our lives for one another. May you intercede for us all, that we may imitate your compassion and courage. May Almighty God, who you so faithfully loved and served, grant us every grace and protection from the rage of disease. May we not give in to anxiety or fear, which would cause us to lose confidence in God's divine providence. Amen. And now we also would love to pray with you the prayer to the Holy Trinity against the coronavirus. Heavenly Father, loving and merciful God, we worship and adore you. In faith, we come before you asking for mercy and forgiveness of our sins against you and your creation. In this time of anxiety and distress, we lift up to you the COVID-19 situation throughout the world. Father, we beg you to halt the spread of this disease and to grant the healing and comfort to those afflicted. Please cover everyone with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus, and protect all of us, especially those in the medical field, from any infection and harm. Lord Jesus, we beseech you to grant your grace to government leaders and medical experts with wisdom and knowledge to combat the spread of COVID-19 and to find a cure for it. Holy Spirit, please breathe peace and new life into everyone. May your grace us with a strong sense of social responsibility to do the necessary and to be prudent and considerate in our actions. Bless all people to work together as one family of God and to be compassionate to one another. Amen. Okay, let's close today with a beautiful Catena Legionis, which as Legion of Mary, we pray weekly and daily if we do find the time. So who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the most blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers and our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary, Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's Legion of Angels,
pray for us.
St. John the Baptist,
pray for us.
St. Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you,
for to serve you
and to serve you in our neighbor, a faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life.
A courageous
faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls. A faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmaryinternetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. Now we would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Church in Hocessin, Delaware. A.J. Laporto, who provided the music. And also, I'd like to mention Tony. I don't know if our listeners know that Tony had passed away.
He passed away Holy Thursday. And there is going to be a tribute page on our website, Oremus.com's tribute to him, to Tony. And we miss him.
We miss him very much. And eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and may the perpetual light shine upon him, and may his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Amen. And all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia, have done our best to provide this hour of broadcast to you. And Emily would like to speak a little bit about that.
Okay, we in the area here in Hocessin and Wilmington, we have about 4 presidiums of the Legion Mary. We have one in St. Mary of the Assumption in Hocessin, and we have another presidium in the Cokesbury village, which is the address is Wilmington, I think, but it's very near Hocessin. And we also have another one in the Summit Retirement Home, which is on Route 7 down the road. And one in St. John the Beloved.
Right, the presidium that I belong to, and maybe about 4 or 5 other people. So we would love anybody who's interested to contact us at the website, if you like. And from there,
can call the parish, and whoever answers you will direct you to whoever is responsible for those presidium.
And I'm sure you'll love the Legion of Mary. It's once a week, and it's a beautiful place to open up and just to be closer to Our Lady. And as Christ said, go to my mother, for whoever goes to her, she comes to me and brings me all their prayers.
Yes. Oh, right now we meet weekly via Zoom or Skype or FaceTime. But then, obviously, when we're open, which is hopefully soon, we'll be meeting.
Yeah. Okay, Sue, thank you. And please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. And may God's abundant blessings be upon all of you. God bless you and keep you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.